clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Rainbows high and deep into the end zone, and it is caught. Caught for a touchdown. A leaping touchdown catch.
Here he goes. He'll be chased, and he is gone. 97 yards. Oh, what a way to start.
Does he get both feet in right here at the end, Jim?
What are they going to roll it? He caught it? Touchdown! He did what?
He runs to the 50. He runs to the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
We are seeing another spectacular effort by Marino, who fires. Touchdown!
Oh, that's loose.
Allen steps up.
Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first.
Says a prayer.
Stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
The game's final play is a Wilson lock to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who do they give it to?
Welcome into Simultaneous Catch, folks. I'm Adam Jeffrey Rossi.
Simultaneous Catch! I'm Josh Lapping, and I just want everyone to know this is going to be the last episode that Adam records as a 29-year-old.
And this is your first episode that you're recording as a 30-year-old.
He said it last week about me, so I had to say it about you.
Pretty fun. Welcome into the show, folks. Sorry we had to take a secondary bye week this year, with the season being as long as it is. We did not record last week, but that's A-okay. We got a lot going on at the theater.
I don't think we've taken our dual bye week yet.
Did we? I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure this is our first one.
I thought we took a bye week on Thanksgiving week, but it's also possible that we didn't. I don't actually remember. Anyway, that was the bye week last week. Josh will be taking his bye week next week. So I'll be all by my lonesome. We might have our Dallas correspondent on that week, but that's A-okay. We are in the thick of it, man. I blinked and here we are, like I said.
Ain't that just the way?
It just goes so fast. Yeah, I did not get my friend's fortune. I still am 0-for on the season. I want to say that you got yours heading off our last episode.
I don't even remember at all.
Well, we should check that at some other time. For right now, let's get into some rant rave recall. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, everybody. I'm a little unprepared for this episode. Didn't get to the rundown. Been struggling. That's not, I meant to say juggling, not struggling. Been juggling a lot as of late. So, yeah, like I'm even slacking on pick and pool, didn't pick. But you know what? I will say, even though it came at the expense of 5 minutes of not funness, you know, Will Levis definitely deserves a rave. Not only Will Levis, but the Titans organization as a whole. Like, there were a lot of players that really stepped up in that game, in that fourth quarter, really, because Will Levis, I think, played a fairly good game outside of the one air early on. But I feel like, you know, he put his body on the line, which is something that down the road I will become more critical of if that becomes the norm versus an outlier game, where sometimes you just have to do that in the game, right? If that becomes, I'm going to do this every week, I'll be like, okay, we need to reevaluate what we're asking this young player to do. But for that game last night, he laid everything on the line. And I really did think that deserves, I mean, they did something that has never been done before. So I don't know what it's 0-for like 800 or something.
Yeah, it was like the last 770 something games that a team had a 14-point lead with 3 minutes left, had won the game. So it's the first time there. And then one of our other coworkers, Richard, who's a Titans fan, told me that it's only happened 4 times in the since like in the last like 2000 plus games that a team has overcome a 2-score deficit with 3 minutes left to play or something like that. So it's pretty insane what happened in the way we won. Cause I turned the game off. Like I flipped back over to Green Bay one when the fumbled pitch happened and then Mostert scored for Miami. I was like, oh, good game.
Yeah.
Good job.
Good effort. it definitely is the lesson. I mean, we talk all the time about being conservative versus being aggressive, and they played lax on that first drive where there's like, okay, like we'll just play soft and we won't really defend the boundary and whatnot, and yeah, it cost them.
And Vrabel did the down 14 when you score the touchdown. He went for two, got it, so that when they scored again, all they had to do was kick the extra point, take the lead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great job by Vrabel and a great job by all those young players on the Tennessee. I was going to say offense, but they have two big veteran offensive players, but yes. So my is a rant.
Okay.
And it's not going to be a long one because I don't want to drone on too much about this, and it's going to sound wrong. I'm not ranting because it was my team, and I'm not ranting because I have some vendetta against the Chiefs. If anything, I've been the most pro Chiefs Bills fan in the world right now. I'm ranting a little bit about Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid complaining so much about this call.
Sure.
I think that we all understand how frustrating it is to lose a game that way. I know how frustrating it is because we lost on a field goal when we had a 12th man on the field. Right, like we've lost on a call at the end of a game too before, right? But what can't happen is your argument can't be this. Their argument is they wanted the refs to see how cool the play was and pick the flag up. That's just not. I think that's the most insane argument in the world, right? Because what Mahomes
I don't know if that's truly well,
so
what
Mahomes
saying.
Was saying is he said in his post game, he said just to rob the fans of such an awesome play like that Kelce makes is just insane. The officials don't know that play is about to happen when they throw the flag.
Yeah.
They throw at the beginning of the play. So in Mahomes' mind, and maybe Mahomes doesn't realize that that's what he's saying means, right? But literally, that if you're translating that, it's okay, you're robbing them of a play. You didn't know it was going to be
sure.
that play.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that if that ref had a DeLorean and could hop in and go back to back to the past, and he would go back and not throw the flag if he knew that that's the play that was going to happen. I bet you he probably would. But you don't know that. It's an obvious offsides, and you throw it. Yes, it sucks because that's an awesome play. And also, I want to be the fan that says this. When that play happened, yeah, it was deflating, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. That's how we lose. There was still a minute left when we had two timeouts. I had not given up yet
sure.
either, right? There's no guaranteeing that Allen, who played well for the most part, he had kind of tapered off in the second half, of course. But there's no guarantee that doesn't, you know, end up being us having a game-winning drive either. But I just think it's so weird for a player and a coach who have, and we've said this many times on the show, they have avoided the heel turn, right? Because at the end of the Pats dynasty, they were despised by almost everybody in the league, right? There are some people who were just respectful of what they had accomplished and everything, but they were a pretty hated duo. And Mahomes and Andy Reid have not become that even after winning two Super Bowls in the last 4 or 5 years and being in three of them and always being in the NFC title game, right? That I myself, who've been beaten by them, don't hate them, right? And I still don't. But this is the first time that I think we really saw the two of them have a semi-heel turn. And I think that the post-game press conference is one thing, but I think what really grinded my gears was when Allen and Mahomes went to like congratulate each other.
Yep.
And Mahomes is not even saying good job, buddy. He's still bitching about the call.
Well, that,
and again, it
that
sucks.
That is before the press game.
Yeah.
So like, that bothered me. That bothered me because I feel like for a player that has reached the ultimate heights so early on in his career and done it very, very consistently, it was one of the first times. And I think the NFL really is kind of becoming a little DVE. Like we see all the time of the players pointing and people make fun of Pat Mahomes for doing that. But literally like everybody does that, or at least the superstars, and they'll always get a little more light shone on them for it. But this is the first time that I feel like from that video of when he's talking to Allen that I was like, that's so not professional. Like you're not being a professional quarterback right now, and that really bothered me about it. I'll say I understand in theory, because we were at an event yesterday and somebody brought up the game. You're like, it's a penalty. And it is. I don't want to take away from that. I understand the notion that technically, usually a ref wouldn't call that because they'll say like, hey, you are lining up and you need to stop doing that. But in that moment, and because it's so bad, they need to throw it. So I get when they're saying like, that never happens. I understand that, when actually I think it's the league is locking down on it this year, especially compared to years past. But so I understand being like, in that moment, like, you don't make the, but it was so bad that it needed to be called. But the thing that really bothered me was not like complaining about it in the post game or whatever, but I despised when he was talking to Allen and he didn't even say he was just talking about that.
And I legitimately, like, I understand how frustrating it is, right? And I understand that sucks to be the way that it go down. As somebody who sees their team lose in the suckiest of ways all the time, the two things that I think are the most damning for that and Mahomes in that scenario, and again, I don't hate Patrick Mahomes. This is just something that bothered me that he did, right? The two things that are most damning are when Buffalo lost in that 13-second game, yes, everybody talked about, oh man, I wish we would have gotten the ball. That's not what Allen said when he went and congratulated Mahomes after that loss. He said, hell of a game, man. Hell of a game. And walked away. That's what he said. He didn't say, oh, if I would have gotten a chance, you know what I mean? And also, I don't know if you saw the audio from Kelsey. Kelsey also talked to Allen after the game. And the audio from that is them talking and Kelsey being like, you guys are tough to beat, man. And then Allen said, that's a heck of a play. I wish it would have counted, but I've never seen anything like that. And Kelsey said, thanks, man. And that was what it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and so those two things combined just make it so bad of a look for Patrick to be the way that it was. And again, I understand how frustrating it is. I know it is. It's the worst because it was an awesome play.
It is. I think this is a good launching off point to talk about something. And I think it obviously does shine a negative light for this specific action for Patrick Mahomes. But in a greater bubble, we see how frustrating this season is for him. And he's doing so much that's just being, I don't want to be dramatic, me saying being let down by the team.
That's not being dramatic. He is.
Yeah.
It's a yet another reason for Kadarius Toney to be letting them down.
Like,
this is a great point to make. And somebody made this, I think, on Get Up or Good Morning Football. They said, that's not Mahomes upset about an offsides call, because he actually wasn't that heated after that play. Like, they turned around and ran two more plays before they didn't get it. And then he got heated. Like, they were saying this is frustration for all the drops.
Yeah.
The Eagles game that they lose because MVS drops the touchdown. The opening night game that they lose because Kadarius Toney has three or four drops and a fumble. Like, this is just a consistent buildup of he doesn't have the guys around him and again, he didn't technically have them last year and they won the Super Bowl, but like, we're seeing how hard it is when you're relying so much on one guy. And Kelsey, who's having a good season, it doesn't feel like that because it's not your typical Kelsey season.
Yep.
It's so hard to rely on just one or two guys. And you're right. Your nail on the head is that he is so frustrated, and that was his one – that was his one chance to blame something else other than his teammates, because he hasn't done it. He has not thrown his teammates under the bus, which is so admirable from a guy who we all see has every reason to throw his teammates under the bus and won't do it. And it's so funny that he's blaming it on the ref in that scenario when the real answer is Toney just needs to make sure he's on sides in the play.
Oh, man.
That was
fascinating game, though. It was a fun game. I liked that it was not that's rare for me, because like, I love the 45-42, but I liked that this one was like, who's gonna do it?
It was really nerve wracking as a fan. I guess we're gonna get into week 14 review, so we could talk about the game itself. Oh yes, hi. We can talk about the game itself as we wrap up. Rant Rave Recall, sponsored by Zero Sugar Pop. I really wanted to open this, and I was waiting for a moment to do that on the thing. But so the game itself was really fun to start, because it's 14-0, and I was like, whoa, what are we doing here? This is awesome, guys. And then it kind of tapered off, and I never lost confidence until like those last couple of drives. I was like, oh no, this is it's going to happen again. Here we go. But it was just...
I mean, back-to-back weeks for our respective teams. Sometimes it's just against Kansas City.
Yeah.
Might be better to be lucky than good.
I guess so. And so now, you know, Kansas City is lucky that this is a year where they're not really being challenged. Although, I guess Denver has 7 wins, and they have a win against Kansas City.
In theory.
But yeah, I mean, it's a win that Buffalo had to have. And I said this to you last week. We weren't on the episode, but I said, I think if we win this game, I think we sneak into the playoffs. Now with the Tennessee victory over Miami, the division is a lot more in play than I thought it would be at that point in time. I know I joked about it on the podcast a couple weeks ago that, you know, it would come down to week 18 against Miami. But I always thought that the 7th seed is what we'd be fighting for. So yeah, I mean, there's so many playoff implications that happen because of this. Now Baltimore is really in the driver's seat for that number 1 seed because Cleveland also beat Jacksonville, who was fighting for the number 1 seed. So now Baltimore has a full game ahead of all those teams and still plays Miami, right? So it could really close the door on that. Other games that really stuck out that we want to hone in on for our week 14 and
so review. I think it's important to talk about the Chargers game, which wasn't overly exciting. I mean, talking about Denver continuing to be pretty great as of late. So they were able to win that game, but the big news to come out of it, right, is Justin Herbert's. He has had finger surgery. I actually don't know if it actually happened today, or it was just said they were officially
it may have just been announced today, but I thought Schefter's tweet was like officially undergoing surgery, so that could mean today or tomorrow or whatever, but he will have season-ending surgery.
Yeah, so big news for the Chargers, not only as, you know, they're what, 5-8? 5-7, 5-8, I believe.
Yes,
so almost guaranteed to be out of the playoffs, but... Bigger than that, I mean, what does this mean? It's the end of Brandon Staley. Will he get the bypass card because Herbert missed the last month of the season? This is really fascinating for this organization, I think.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about this a little bit because you have been on the Staley's got to go since last year.
Yeah.
Since maybe even the middle of the year prior to that. But I think what happened was, correct me if I'm wrong, I think what happened was last year they went on a run and made the playoffs, and they were ahead huge in that Jacksonville playoff game. And I think at that point we were like, you know what?
27.
They finally figured it out, right?
Yeah.
And then they lost. And then we both talked, is this a fireable offense? And I think that's where you were. You were like, yes, like they've been struggling for so long. That's the kind of loss. We need to go elsewhere. And they didn't do it, right? They made the offensive coordinator change, right? And they brought in Kellen Moore.
Which I like that hire.
And again, the offense has not really been the issue in the tender for Brandon Staley. So, what happens? Okay, so let's go through both scenarios. What happens if they don't fire him? What do you think happens next year? Same old, same old.
Yeah, I think they stay in mediocrity, which is I think somewhere in the middle. I think it can be. There's a little bit of leeway, right? Like they might be just good enough to make a playoff, like a wild card, or they might be just bad enough to be in this situation. I think they're right in the middle. I don't think they are a 2-win team because I think they have so much talent everywhere across the board. But I don't think, I just think under that leadership, it doesn't get done.
So the answer for you, and I think for a lot of people, I also think I agree it's time to make a change. And Staley's young. I think that Staley could be one of those coaches that steps aside and goes back to defensive coordinator for a couple of years and then gets another job somewhere else and is better. We've seen that happen before in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
But I do think it's time to go. So if it's time to go, is the answer this is the Ben Johnson team? Like I said in the car on the way over here, Ben Johnson's going to be the answer for a lot of teams this offseason. But is that just the simple answer, or is there another name out there that we think – that's the team they should go with? Because, again, the offense is not really the issue for this team.
Yeah. I hear you when you say that because it's not. I feel like there have been numerous games that I've come in on talk about just how I don't like the defensive execution, what I like so many of the players that they have there. I mean, I think Ben Johnson is the fun answer, right? I feel like as an offensive-minded individual, you'd probably salivate to play with Justin Herbert and have the opportunity to coach him. I don't know if it would be an internal thing that they go with Moore, who was a very hot head coaching candidate just a couple of years ago, but kind of fizzled out there. So wanted to move away. He didn't want to move away from Dallas. Dallas made that decision. So I don't know if they'll promote from within if they do something along those lines. But I also said, I think outside of the offensive line, which I think they've drafted very well. Now, they did get their corner that I'm blanking on their name right now, Asante Samuel Jr. I think he is a great standout player. Outside of those players, I feel like they haven't drafted super well either. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, think of all these receivers that they're not hitting on. Like, there's excitement for Jalen Guyton at one point, but he's not really done anything. There's excitement for Joshua Palmer, who really hasn't done anything.
Yeah, and
Quentin Johnson. Let's talk about how many running backs that I've gotten excited about for a month and gave up on, like Larry Roundtree and Joshua Kelly. And
hey, he's doing all right.
They got Isaiah Spiller, who was a big second-round pick out of Texas.
Yeah, I was so nothing.
Like, they've whiffed on all of these picks. And again, that's a lot on the offensive side. There's some on the defensive side as well that
yeah.
they have not hit on.
So I'm just thinking about, like, they need to cultivate that, because you know, and I've said and I've thrown this love that Keenan Allen is one of my favorite wide receivers. Coming up on his age 32 season, he can't continue to get 20 targets a game to be successful.
Yeah, I'm wondering what his contract is like. Is this like a Keenan go somewhere else to finally get what he should get? Because Keenan was a number one target for Phillip Rivers when they kept falling short. Is he going to stay with Justin Herbert, who at this point in his career is Phillip Rivers 2.0, where he's just putting up all these awesome numbers, being this awesome, successful quarterback statistically, but can't win the games?
Yeah.
You know, like, it just sucks for a player that's one of your favorite players.
That is, I think this might be the organization I watch in the offseason.
Yeah, and then on the Denver side of things, 7-6 now.
They
just keep finding ways to win, because it wasn't like a phenomenal Russ performance, about 240 yards.
It's just what
a couple touchdowns a pick.
That's what this team is right now.
Williams scored.
They're doing it.
Jaleel McLaughlin, 5 yards a carry. Cortland Sutton, another touchdown.
It was a beautiful touchdown.
Yeah, it was. Samaje Perine, 5 catches, right? Like, so they're just kind of spreading it around. Their defense is really what's sort of leading the charge here. I know that, like, Herbert went down, so who's to say what happened there? But you got Simmons with a fumble recovery, P.J. Locke with a fumble recovery, Jonathan Cooper interception, right? Like, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players with a pass defense in this game. And then they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 total sacks. Like, they just were all over the place against them. And I know that, like, Easton Stick comes in and plays most of this game. But still, like, incredible defensive performance from Denver. And they've got this huge game coming up, because Denver can box out a lot of these teams. Like, they have the win over Buffalo, right? I think they have a win over Cincy, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, they can box out a lot of these AFC teams for the 6 or 7 seed. But this is a huge game against an NFC team that they need to win heading forward. But how are you feeling about Denver? I know that I showed a little doubt in Denver, saying that they were winning all these games by really ugly, and you're not going to, like, win your way all the way into the playoffs doing that. But right now, they're in a prime position to do
so. They sure are. So in the beginning of the year, I said Denver would be a wild card team, and I threw out that I think Peyton was going to be the coach of the year. Now, obviously, the first month, I looked like an absolute fool for saying something like that. But actually, someone that I criticized on the show is defensive coordinator Vance Joseph, and even more so than Peyton. I believe that Sean Peyton is integral in what they're doing right now in terms of being a leadership and hopefully being a camaraderie versus, you know, in the early offseason, like, he had the whole thing about Hackett and whatnot. But I hope that he is being a unifying force. But Vance Joseph deserves so much credit, because this defense, and I get that Russ is being efficient and the numbers are much better than they were, and he's having a very effective, efficient season, but it's this defense, and, like, you have to give him all the accolades.
It's the defense, not just statistically. It's the defense situationally, right? And a lot of this does go to the head coach, Sean Payton. I think that he's gotten this team to understand situational football the way that Bill Belichick did in all those years. Like, those teams with Belichick were not always the best statistically.
Yeah.
But when the situation demanded a play – in a certain moment. They always did it. And that's what Denver is kind of feeling right now, where they're like, we need a three and out right here. Defense gets it, right? Or we just need to limit them to a field goal. Defense makes sure that doesn't happen, right? Or Russ, we just need one first down. They figure it out. Russ, we need you to make one play in this drive. They figure it out. Like, it's just, this team statistically does not blow you away. They take care of the football. They turn the football over, and they don't let teams score a ton so that games don't get out of hand. I mean, ever since that one game against Miami where Miami just goes nuclear, like, this team is not allowing teams to go crazy on them.
Yeah.
Which is not something that we would have said way back when, right? But now we get to the final 4 weeks of the season. They go to Detroit this Saturday night. Huge game.
Hot dog.
Huge game. And then after that, they host the Patriots, right? They on Christmas Eve. Then they host the Chargers on New Year's Eve. And then they finish the season going to Vegas, right? You win three out of those four. You're in the playoffs.
I think so.
10-7. 10-7 gets it in the AFC.
I think so.
I think. Whether that's the 6 or 7 seed. So you that's incredibly doable for this team. I wouldn't be surprised if they upset the Lions on Saturday night.
With how Detroit's been stubbing their toe, for sure.
I'm not sure that I would pick them, right? But, like, we'll not be surprised if that were to happen. So you do that, and then you can still lose another game the rest of the year. So the Denver's primed for this. If Denver doesn't make it, I think it's a massive disappointment. At this point, in this position, right?
Sure.
You're looking at the beginning of the season, you say they make it. You're like, whoa, what an accomplishment, right? But things change, right? Scenarios change. With this final four games, if they don't find a way to make it, I would be supremely disappointed in the Denver Broncos.
Sure, that's fair.
Other games to highlight. The Baker Mayfield show finding a way to beat the Atlanta Falcons, and now they are in prime position to win this division.
Yeah, is Tampa at the top right now?
Tampa is at the top at 6-7 because they hold the tiebreaker now over Atlanta and New Orleans, right?
The first place Bucks.
So I'm trying to go to the final score here. Yes, final score 29-25. This was a crazy game. It was 12-2 at one point because there was a safety. A lot of back and forth. Desmond Ridder took the lead late in the fourth quarter, finally holding onto the ball as he crossed the goal line on a read option play late in the fourth quarter. But Baker Mayfield leads him down the field. Go-ahead touchdown to one of your guys, Cade Otton, the tight end. And now the Buccaneers are in prime position to finish winning this division.
What a fascinating division.
A lot of people poo-poo this division. I love it. I love that it's
that's very you, though.
I just love that it's this way every year. I think it's so fun. The Buccaneers have a huge game in Green Bay this week.
Yeah.
Huge game, 2-6-7 teams. And then they host the Jags and host the Saints. So there's a head-to-head for the Saints, and then they finish at the Panthers. So three really tough games for them coming up.
You don't think the Week 18 is the Bryce Young coming out game?
It would be so fun because I love Bryce Young. And listen, I don't want to do this to you, Bryce. I know you're listening. Hi, thank you for listening to the show. I don't want to do this to you because normally when I say I believe in a quarterback, it's a death sentence. But I still believe in you, and I will not give up on you. Ben Johnson's not going to take the job in Carolina, but Ben, if you're listening, and I know you are too, you should take this job because I want you and Bryce Young together. It's not going to happen, but that's what I want. So that's the Bucks for me.
Greg
Olson. How do we feel about the Bucks?
Yeah, the Bucks are our team. I mean, obviously, the three of the four teams in that division are 6-7, so they're far, far from perfect. They're just they're an odd team. I will say a player that I didn't have a lot of faith in. Rashad White has been coming on lately, and he's been integral in, I get they haven't won a lot of games as of late, but he's been integral in the steadiness of that team. Because even when we saw against Atlanta, I mean, Mike Evans had what, like one catch? Cade Otton only had two. I don't have it right in front of me, but it's not like everyone was lighting it up, but Rashad White was being consistent, and I think he has been throughout the course of this year, so I absolutely have to give props to him. And he also was the second leading receiver in that game.
Yeah, Rashad White had 102 rushing yards, but he also had two catches for 33 and a touchdown as well receiving. He has been very great, and a player that I also did not believe in coming in.
So I'm fascinated by this team. I'm fascinated by the division, which I thought, you know, the Saints have been all over the place, and I think some of that is personnel. I think a lot of it has to do with coaching and how I'm not inspired by what they're doing down there. And I know that you weren't a Derek Carr truther, but I know you've been pretty down on Dennis Allen since he took over for Peyton as well. So yeah, that's just a shamble. You know, we both like Todd Bowles. If he gets back to the playoffs, I think that's something that we would think is fun because we really like and respect him. I know that we don't.
I'd be happy for Baker too. You know me, I love Baker.
Yeah, I know you like Baker. Yeah. And I would love Baker to be in a position to be like, Josh, you ranked me like 29th. That was so wrong. So, you know.
I'm going to do this real quick and focus on this because we're talking about last week, but we're also the playoff picture is what's next on the rundown anyway. So we're kind of connecting all the dots here. So they go at Green Bay, host the Jacksonville Jaguars, host the Saints, and finish with the Panthers. The Falcons go to Carolina this week. Then they host the Colts, and then they go on the road against the Bears and the Saints to finish. The Saints host the Giants, and then go to the Rams, to the Bucks, and host the Falcons. Like, out of those three teams, which one in their remaining schedule for a month do you feel the most confidence in right now? Because I this is totally not a homer team. I feel like I still believe in the Falcons for the most part with that final four games over the other two.
Yeah, I mean they're fairly similar in what they have to do and whatnot. I think I would say the Falcons, but I would put the Saints at a pretty close second. I will say, I just obviously discounted the Bucks by saying that. I think this game against Green Bay is huge, not because I think Green Bay is like this juggernaut, but if they can go up into Lambeau, where I get, you know, global warming's happening and whatnot, but if they can do it in December for a team that's like, that's something that I think should struggle a little bit. If they handle it there, I'll feel a lot better about
that.
Yeah,
if the Buccaneers lose against Green Bay, then I do feel like it won't be them that wins the division. But if they win, I feel confident about them when they're at home against the Saints and on the road against the Panthers, right? So that makes them at least 3-1 to finish, which puts them at least 9-8, right? And then you look at the Falcons, I believe that they would beat the Panthers, right? And even though the Bears are surging, I still think they would beat them. And so that depends on, do you beat the Colts and the Saints, or do you beat the Colts and not beat the Saints? Then you're at 9-8. Tie still goes to the Bucks in that scenario. Now the Saints host the Giants, which we would have thought is an easy game 3 weeks ago. Now three straight wins with Tommy DeVito. Who the hell knows about that? And then you have to go to the Rams, who are a good team.
Yeah.
That's really hard. And then, of course, the matchup with the Bucks, and then that, you know, week 18 against the Falcons. So they're all going to play each other too, right? Coming up here, so there's going to be
which makes it a lot of fun.
It's just going to be in. I don't know that it'll come down to that week 18 between the Saints and the Falcons, because I think one or both of them won't be in position that final week.
Sure,
but yes,
can always play spoiler for somebody.
What?
I said can always play spoiler for somebody.
That's true. That's true. All right, other games you want to hone in on, or we just want to go full on look at the playoff
picture? Yeah, the last one I think we're talking about is the Vikings game, not because it was exciting. Obviously, a 3-0 last minute field goal kick to win the game, but just a couple big things. Obviously, the Josh Dobbs benching. We came and I talked a couple weeks ago after the Josh Dobbs meltdown against Chicago. I don't know what's going to go on with this quarterback room. We were talking about Evan Hall. Hull?
Jaren Hall.
Jaren Hall, thank you.
I'm looking up a Jaren Hall update right now.
So to see what's going on with him, but also Justin Jefferson finally came back, took a chest injury, so he was out, but has, I think, been deemed day-to-day with a probable chance to play, but obviously to get him back and then to lose him is deflating. I don't know if that went into some of the offensive struggles with Dobbs, but I don't know what to make of this Vikings team right now. Madison got hurt.
So this says that on Sunday, Jaren Hall was inactive, which was a coach's decision. He was passed, but he served as the emergency quarterback. So he suited up, but he was only allowed to enter the game if both Dobbs and Nick Mullins were injured and unable to play.
Okay.
So he will obviously be active. Well, actually, I don't want to say obviously because Dobbs didn't get hurt. He was benched. So I really don't know, but I will say, like, we talked about it. We loved what we saw that first drive from Jaren Hall on the, you know, first Josh Dobbs game. The Vikings are such an interesting team because we really, like, we wrote them off the beginning of the season, right? And then they went on this massive run with Kirk, and then Kirk got hurt. And then we were like, oh, well, good season. And then Dobbs came in and lit the world on fire for a couple of weeks, right? And now the last couple of weeks, not so much. So it's just, it's been back and forth for them. And now they've got this huge Saturday game against the Bengals in Cincinnati. And then they host the Lions. And then they host the Packers. And then they go to the Lions again. Just an absolute gauntlet.
It really is.
To finish this season. And I don't know if the team that just won 12-0 or 12-10 or that just lost to the Bears 12-10 and then beat the Raiders 3-0 wins more than two of those games. And if you two games, that's not going to get you the 9th seed, I don't think, in the NFC.
Yeah, this is, I don't want to say the first time because it's not, but this is like the first time I think that we've seen Kevin O'Connell stub his toe and not being able to figure out how to adjust, because I haven't, the last, since he's been hired, we haven't seen back-to-back duds of this nature. Obviously, we've seen them lose games. We saw them lose consecutive games at the beginning of the season, but they were producing, where right now, the last 2 weeks we've seen them, it's just been, they cannot get going. So we'll have to see how he responds in that fashion.
Yeah, I'd really like to see Jaren Hall get a chance. I think we know.
It was exciting.
I think we know enough about Mullins.
Although he was a kid when he yeah, came on,
I know.
Years ago, I was like, okay.
I think the decision should be Dobbs, or let's see if Jaren Hall actually has something, because he's the one you don't know enough about yet, I think. And, but we'll see what happens. Like I said, huge game Saturday at 1:00. I didn't know there were Saturday games this week, but that'll be fun. All right, let's take a look at this playoff picture here. So we want to do AFC first or NFC first?
I am good to follow. Let's do the leader, man.
AFC first. So right now the 1 seed is the 10-3 Baltimore Ravens. At the 2, we've got the 9-4 Miami Dolphins. And then after their loss, KC drops down to the 3 seed at 8-5. Jacksonville is 8-5 at the 4 seed. Cleveland with Joe Flacco, after their victory over the Jaguars, is now 8-5. And then hanging on both at 7-6 are the Steelers and the Colts, who play each other this week. So one of those guys will probably get knocked out for the time being. And then we've got this log jam of 1, 2, 3, 4, 7-6 teams in the Houston Texans, who lost their quarterback to concussion, CJ Stroud. We'll have to monitor that going forward.
Yep.
The Denver Broncos, who we talked about, surging 7-6. The Bengals, who huge win with Jake Browning for a second straight really good game. And then Buffalo Bills sitting at the 11th seed right now by virtue of their not-so-great AFC standings right now. So, although they are 4-5, which is only one game, two games out. so I'm just saying, like, you know, they're going to play some other AFC teams regardless. So, yes. I don't think any of the top 4 or 5 are like falling out.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like I don't think the top 4 are falling out, right? Now you want to talk about maybe the division in play for Miami versus Buffalo at some point.
That's very much a thing. Yeah.
That's the one that I would look at, but the rest of them I'm not really that concerned about falling out of the playoffs. And so, to me, this is for the 6th and 7th seed, it's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a 6-team race for 2 spots, right? So, yeah, we're looking at Pittsburgh, Indy, Houston, Denver, Cincy, and Buffalo. 2 of those teams get in. If you had to do it right now.
I think you have to include Miami in that.
Really?
Well, because the theory is that Buffalo could take that division, so we'd have to put them.
And then Miami would fall out completely?
Depending on how the schedule goes, it's possible. Yeah. But, I mean, staying playing for the 6 or 7, I get that Miami has the game and a half
let's say the only game Miami loses the rest of the year is Buffalo, which means that they win.
Oh, if they won out other than Buffalo,
which means they win the division.
Yeah.
So,
but I don't think that's not going to happen.
Let's take that out of play right now, because I don't want to have that conversation yet. Let's take that out of play. So let's say those 6 AFC teams I mentioned outside Miami.
Yep.
Only 2 of them get in. Uh-huh. You had to pick 2 of them right now. who do you feel the most confident in? Like, you have to bet some money on it. But, like, those are the two that I think get it.
So probably Denver and Cincinnati, because they have the tiebreakers over Buffalo.
This is really interesting. That so out of those six teams, I said, you're saying that both Pittsburgh and Indy are falling out. You feel more confident that Denver and Cincy leap up into 6 and 7.
I do feel good about Indianapolis right now. I don't feel good about Pittsburgh.
I don't feel good about Pittsburgh either.
Unfortunately. But
Indianapolis is the one that I'm most surprised about, that you would say you believe in Jake Browning, Cincy over Gardner Minshew.
The reason I didn't, when Burrow went down, I was so uninterested in Bengals games. The game that was Thursday night, Jacksonville and Cincinnati, I told Jenna, I was like, I don't even want to watch this. Like, I just don't care. And it was a great game. So, like, I'm glad I did. But so I was talking about with New Orleans and coaching. I'm so impressed right now with what's going on there. And I get that Cincinnati is stacked offensively of having great skill position players that help take some pressure off of. But whatever Zach Taylor has gotten in the head of Jake Browning, they believe in themselves. I talked about how I liked their defense early on in the year, and I feel like they're coming on. So, yeah, I am confident in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, let's take a – let me bring it up right
here. I'll back off of them being my Super Bowl winner, but I think they can get there. I think they can get to the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, let's take a look right now at the Bengals schedule finishing out. So, again, they have the huge matchup against the Vikings this week. We don't know who who's starting quarterback for the Vikings, right? But they get to host the Vikings.
Yeah.
And then they play the Steelers, so they play one of those teams ahead of them. And then they have to go to Kansas City, and then they host the Browns. So they do not have an easy four-game schedule to finish out right here. Knowing that that's their finishing, does that change your mind at all about Cincy?
No, it doesn't. So okay. I think they go – I'm just saying what I think. I think they win the next two games.
Okay,
so I think they will
9-6.
I think they'll lose to Kansas City.
So then they're 9-7, so they finish 10-7 if they can beat Cleveland week 18.
So I believe, and I could be wrong, so I might be talking myself into a paper bag here. I think I have Cleveland already having locked up that spot, so they might not have to play for too much.
So taking a look at Cleveland really quick, Cleveland has the Bears this week. They host the Bears.
I think they win that.
And then they go to the Texans. Who knows what's with CJ Stroud at that point?
Yep. So I think I take them.
And then they host the Jets. So you're saying that they would win those three games, and then it wouldn't matter weeks.
I think they'll already have their playoff spot secured. Joe Flacco.
They'll be like,
I don't know if it's more so than the quarterback. I could see them resting a lot of their key Garrett and Ward and
Owusu-Koramoah. Yeah. Those guys just don't play that week.
That
makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, I think that I'm surprised that you would say Cincy, right? But I'm more surprised, like I said, about the Indianapolis of it all, because Indianapolis has a very interesting schedule to finish the year. So they host the Steelers. Like I said, this is another one of the Saturday games. This one, massive playoff implications.
Yeah.
And then they got to go to Atlanta, who's trying to fight tooth and nail to win, right?
Yep.
And, you know, the Colts, not the best defense in the world, right? They have some players, and I know that we talked a couple weeks ago about a lot of the things that you liked that they were doing, that statistically they weren't, like, everything, but they were good.
And, yeah.
You know, getting some pressure on the quarterback. And then they get to host the Raiders, who are kind of reeling a little bit here, and then they host the Texans in the final week, right? So who knows what the Texans scenario is at that point.
That is such a range. I can see them being 3-1. I can see them being 1-3.
Yeah.
I could see them technically being 4-0.
I mean, I want the 1-3. Let's be very clear.
Like, they're a team that I really like. I like what they've done. I like the position that they're in at being the 7th seed. I mean, kudos to them for everything that they've faced in terms of losing Richardson and then getting Taylor back and losing Taylor and everything. I think that's great and wonderful. But just when it comes down to it, like, I can see and I would just love – I'm saying if they made the Super Bowl, I don't think they'd beat some of the upper teams in the NFC, I would just love to poop my pants over Gardner winning a Super Bowl. Like, I would drive to Indianapolis to be in the front of that parade.
You would too. That's pretty fun. Gardner Minshew, it's hard because Gardner Minshew is fun to root for, but I have to root against it. Let's take a look at the NFC. Let's do a similar exercise with the NFC picture. So we've got San Francisco and Dallas at 1-2. Dallas right now holds a tiebreaker over Philly, but if both teams win out, Philly still wins the division. Mm-hmm. They have more NFC games on their slate. And then we've got Detroit still in the lead in the NFC North, excuse me. And then we talked about the NFC South, the Buccaneers. We talked about them. And then at 5, 6, and 7, we've got Philly. So 5 feels like 5 is reserved for the other NFC East team right now.
Yep.
So again, we're down to 6 and 7, which right now is the Minnesota Vikings at 7 wins and the Green Bay Packers at 6. And then the NFC is so interesting because you've got the 6 and 7 Rams, the 6 and 7 Seahawks, the 6 and 7 Falcons and Saints. And now you've got suddenly two surging 5-8 teams, the Tommy DeVito-led New York Giants and Justin Fields-led Chicago Bears. So that, like, and you could tell me, you could look me in the face and tell me that the Giants or the Bears went out, and I'd be like, okay. Like, I know that their schedules might not be that, but like the way that they're playing right now, I would be like, all right, whatever, that's fun. So again, let's do similar exercise. Which two teams get those final two spots we feel the most confident in?
So I don't know the schedule making for the NFC as well as I do the AFC in this exercise. But
yeah, teams, I mean, if you start talking about a team, I'll bring up the schedule.
I really like the Rams. I think they've caught in some fire the last handful of weeks. I really like them.
Yeah, so they've got the Commanders this week. Then after that, they host the Saints. They go to the Giants, and then they go to the 49ers, who could have already wrapped up the NFC at that point.
Yep. I think for me, I don't think two teams are coming out of the South. So I think they only...
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think tiebreakers really keep them out of that total picture.
I think they're only going to have the fourth.
The winner goes to the four, yeah.
Yeah. So between... I think the Rams get in there. I do. So I think for that last seed, whether or not it's 6 or 7, for me, it's between Green Bay and Seattle.
Okay. So we already kind of went through, so the Rams come up, the Vikings drop out. Let's look at Green Bay's final four. Are you familiar with Green Bay's final
four? I kind of know Green Bay's.
So yeah, Green Bay is, they've got the Bucs this week, huge game. They got the Panthers, right? Which is you, if you're a playoff team, you win that game by like that, right? Then they go to the Vikings, so they have a game against somebody ahead of them, and then they host the Bears the final week, right? And then let's take a look at the Seahawks, who have a Monday night matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles this week. Huge one. Our Dallas correspondent is counting on that victory so that the Dallas Cowboys can still win the division.
Oh, man.
And then they go to the Titans on Christmas Eve. And then they host the Steelers on New Year's Eve, and then they finish with the Cardinals.
So I think both of those schedules are favorable for those two teams. Obviously, I think Seattle may have a hiccup on – it's Monday night, I believe, right?
Yep.
Against the Eagles, but they've been reeling as of late. We'll see if that they finally break out of that against this team. But the last time that we saw the Seahawks on primetime, they were lighting it up. So
it's true.
They know, it's going to be fascinating. I think it's between for these two seeds. I do think Minnesota's falling out. I think it's between Green Bay, LA, and Seattle personally.
All right, let's do this really quick. Can I interest you in a finishing out the season on a four game win streak for either the Bears or the Giants? The Bears scenario is the Browns this week, which is incredibly tough.
Yep.
Right. But then they get the Cardinals. They get to host the Cardinals. Then they get to host the Falcons. And then they finish at Green Bay. So that's their scenario, right?
Yep. I can buy that one. I buy very little. I can buy it. I know New York plays Philadelphia twice.
Yeah, so the Giants have to go to the Saints, to the Eagles, and then they host the Rams and then host the Eagles. So they do have to beat Philly twice to do it.
I will give Mike and the Cowboys some hope. I can see him
one of those upsets. One, yeah.
But I can't see it twice.
I agree. And so then that comes down to the Bears. If they win this week, then I think people do have to take the Bears seriously. I think right now it's a fun story. I think right now it's like, oh, good. Fields is coming back, and it's going to drum up a lot for draft season because they're probably going to have the first pick by virtue of the Panthers.
Yeah.
And it's going to be that same thing. Do you take the quarterback again, or do you drop back again and get more picks to build around him, right?
Oh, man.
I'm telling you right now, if he keeps playing this way, I'm going to be pounding my head against this table about don't you dare take a quarterback because we know how much I love Justin Fields. But if they win against the Browns this week, and then they've got the Cardinals.
That would certainly help if they beat
Cardinals
Cleveland
and the Falcons, and then they finish the season for possibly a win and in versus the Packers. I really take them very seriously in that situation.
If
right?
if they handle Cleveland, which is very possible, I'm not saying it's not. I'm favoring Cleveland in the game, but not impossible, especially if they play the way they played with the confidence that they played with last week, really the last 2 weeks. Yeah, there's just something where until I'm proven that the Bears aren't going to be the Bears, I just got to keep saying they're the Bears.
Yeah, that's a good point. And coming from the guy who's noticed them be the Bears for his entire football watching career, I get it. I respect it. Just really quick, because I didn't end up saying anything to the two, I would just say in the AFC, I do agree with the what you said, the Cincy in Denver, right?
I did say that.
I agree with Denver. I think Denver gets in. I think they go at least 3-1 to finish. And then I'm going to – and I actually, in my scenario, I think Buffalo snags the 7. I think that the rest of these teams ahead of them, by virtue of the quarterback injury, I think that we just end up being able to just enough. Now, that means that we do have to win this weekend against – so I think we can lose one more game. No, we have to – hold on.
No, sorry,
I'm losing it. We can lose one more game.
Yeah.
So if it's this week against Dallas, then we have to finish out strong against the Chargers, the Pats, and the Dolphins. But I think we can go 3-1 in this 4-game stretch, and I think that gets us number 7. I will say this right now. I would love, and I said this every week leading up to the season, that all I wanted was Miami versus Buffalo for the Division Week 18. I will be so excited for that game if it happens. I don't think that's what's going to happen.
I do.
I mean, it'll be,
but we'll talk about it.
Crazy, but
I do.
I don't think that happens. And then in the NFC, I do think I think it's going to be Green Bay and the Rams.
Okay.
I think that's who's going to be. So similar to yours. All right. Well, now it's time for
hot dang. I don't know. I told you I didn't look at the rundown. Pals picks.
Oh yeah.
Very good.
So we didn't actually pick games last week on our bye week, which is we normally do still pick games on our bye week.
Telling you.
But new wrinkle on Pals Picks. I made this decision because I think it's fun. From now on, Pals Picks, the person who is in the trailing position always gets to give once the last, because it shouldn't be every week, right? I think that once we get to the home stretch, the last month of the season, after all the bye weeks are done and Adam's complaining about all the fantasy playoffs he didn't get into, that's when the trailing position gets to give games first every week to give them a competitive advantage.
Well, let's go. So I got to give you the games first, and we just talked about this an hour ago, so we didn't get to do a whole lot of thought. We're just going with our guts. All right, so that first game we were just talking about, the Bears at the Browns. I just told you what I'm leaning. What are you leaning?
So my instinct all year was head over heart, right? All year. I've been doing this, and it's working for me.
It's doing great.
I've also, people who haven't checked the Run Your Pool, I also reclaimed the top position in the Run Your Pool.
Nice.
So it was always head over heart. I'm going to flip on this one. I'm going to go with my heart. I want the Bears to win this game, and I'm going to pick the Bears to win this game.
Okay.
I think that their defense is showing up. Jalen Johnson, who was like this close to being a Buffalo Bill at the trade deadline, has been awesome in this last month. They just got something to them now that Montez Sweat is there. They've got this pass rushing threat. Fields is playing really good, really well. He's running the football so well. I mean, how much time do we spend on the show talking about how he needed to do that more?
Yeah.
Like he was last year, and he's doing it finally. I just think, and I think the Joe Flacco story is also fun, but this is also a 39-year-old quarterback who was run out of the league because he was playing so poorly. He just didn't have it anymore, right? So I think the more likely scenario is that he captured a little moment in time where he had a little bit of a resurgence, but probably can't sustain it as a 39-year-old quarterback. I think this one gets like an ugly game. I think Chicago wins ugly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I like it. Going into the dog pound and the Bears are going to win. How about one of those playoff games? I feel like we just poo-pooed on the Steelers saying they wouldn't make it. Does that mean you're taking the Colts in this one?
Yeah, I just talked about this morning about I don't know who I'm supposed to root for in this game because they're both 7-6 and they're both above Buffalo. I haven't heard an update about Kenny. I'm assuming Kenny's not playing.
Oh, yeah, I think that's pretty safe.
Still Mitch Trubisky.
Pretty sure it's safe to
say. And while Mitch had some moments that were really, really bad in that game, I think he also had some moments where he kind of let it fly. And there were some nice plays being made. I think I go with Pittsburgh in this one.
Oh.
I think the Colts defense isn't good enough that I think that this dual-headed rushing attack from Pittsburgh can really get going between Najee and Jalen.
Okay.
And I think that that's what ends up winning them the game in the end.
Sure.
Is that the Pittsburgh offense will be able to control it enough because their defense isn't good enough, and then TJ Watt can close it out at the end of the game. I think that's probably what happens.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's good or bad for Buffalo, but we'll see what happens.
Fascinating. Last but not least, I feel like putting the puzzle pieces together based on our conversation, I know where you're going, but tell me about the Jets versus the Dolphins. Will we get the first half Jets or the second half Jets?
Yeah, It's been hard to be Zach Wilson this year. I want to give some. I was either gonna rant about Mahomes or I was gonna rave about Zach Wilson because Zach Wilson had a really good game, right? And it wasn't like he ended up with 300 yards and I think 2 touchdowns. But it wasn't like he was just flinging it down the field. He was going to his guys in Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. He was taking care of the football. He wasn't really, you know, like pushing it too much. There were a couple times where he attacked downfield, and I think I kept saying to you, like, I just want to see him do it, right, just to show that he still can.
Yeah.
Right? But probably one of the best games of his career. I think this game could get interesting. I still pick Miami. I don't think Miami comes off the kind of loss that they had against the Titans on Monday night. I do not think Mike McDaniel is the coach that allows them to come back for a second week and lose a game like that. I think McDaniel's going to have them sharp. I think that it was weird that Hill was kind of on the field and off the field in that game, tweak his ankle. I think he's got, was his ankle or his foot? Like, I don't know.
It is an ankle injury.
So I think that he gets a little time to heal up, and I think that they take care of business in this game. Tua is better than what he showed on Monday. Some people are really criticizing him. Tua's way better than that. I think he'll be fine.
All right, so there we go. You took the Bears over the Browns, the Dolphins over the Jets at home, and the Steelers on the road over the Colts.
Continuing the theme of massive playoff implications, I think this is why it's so fun this year, is because even the teams that are like 5-8 are 5-8 and have a chance, right? And so they're, all these games have playoff implications. I feel like normally this time of the year we have these like 2-8 versus 3-7 team games, right? We don't really have that this week. So the Vikings go to Cincinnati against the red hot Jake Browning led Bengals.
I am all about the Bengals. They were my Super Bowl team. I said earlier on in the year, you jump, I jump, Joe. I'm going with Jake. It was a player that I wasn't excited about when he came in. Like I said, I didn't even want to watch them, but they are humming right now. He's being efficient. He is not putting the ball in harm's way, but he's not afraid to take a shot. I really like the confidence that this player, that when he first came in, we talked about personally, like, there were expectations for this kid, and then there just suddenly wasn't.
Jake Browning was once talked as the number one overall pick because he had one season in Washington where he was just, like, awesome, and then he had a terrible senior year, and then he fell off and became a fourth or fifth round pick. So,
I'm all about it. I want to see the Vikings get out of this slump. I think if they were at home, maybe they do it, but I think going into Cincinnati is this time of the year with the injuries they're dealing with. Hopefully Jefferson's back and fine, but losing Madison, and I get that they have Ty Chandler or anything. He didn't look overly impressive. I like the Bengals defense. Going with the Bengals.
There are 32 NFL teams currently, so to hold a record for like the best out of all the 32 teams is impressive. There are way more college teams. To hold a college record is even more impressive. There are exponentially more high school teams in our country. And to be able to say that you hold the record for most total thrown touchdowns out of any high school ever, which Jake Browning owns, is pretty wild to me. So Jake Browning has had success at all levels of football now only for a couple of weeks in the NFL, but he's had success and he's confident. I will be rooting for Minnesota, but the Jake Browning story is a lot of fun. So second game, your team, Green Bay Packers, hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in another playoff game atmosphere.
It really is a playoff game atmosphere. Green Bay coming off of, you know, they took the lead at the final second, final couple minutes, and then gave up a great play to Wandale Robinson. I like what I've seen from the Bucs. But I do like, even though they gave up the final backbreaker, I think Baker is mobile, but there were so many times that the Packers had DeVito and weren't able to bring it down. I think Baker will be, as we've seen, he's mobile. He's not a statue, but he can get a little erratic where DeVito just went. I don't know if Baker does that, so I think the pass rush of the Packers will make an impact because this game is in Green Bay. I'm going Green Bay.
I agree 100%. I also want to say two things. One, I don't know that there's another full wide receiver core in the NFL that I love more than Green Bay. Like, I cannot tell you how much I love, down to Heath and Wicks, love this wide receiver core, man. If the Falcons weren't already like my pseudo team in the NFC, I might start being more of a Packers fan with you. Like, Jen and I already root for them with you, right? Because we like to see you happy. We like to see them win. But, like, just love this wide receiver core. And I'm going to be so excited when they draft a young running back in the draft next year in like the second round, because Aaron Jones is getting older. And I think that A.J. Dillon, while not a bad running back, has not really been the back that we thought he would be.
Yeah.
The future is so bright for Green Bay. I feel that way very confidently. Going into New Orleans Saints. No idea why they started Derek Carr last week. Don't understand how a guy with an AC joint tear should be playing quarterback at any level. Certainly not in the NFL. Certainly not for a team that is fighting for the division right now. But they get to host the red-hot Tommy DeVito-led New York Giants.
Which is obviously a really, really fun story, although I think it shows when one of the biggest stories of the night is not what you're doing on the field, it's your agent up in the stands.
Somebody was like, if you told me to draw an Italian from New Jersey, I would draw that person.
Oh, man, what a story. So the Giants, well, they got the game, they got the win. That was great, but they did, and so did Green Bay. That's not what I'm saying. But they did so many things wrong where I think if you're just playing a team that is a little more together, that they don't get that game. I don't really trust the Saints offense right now, but I do trust a couple of things. Their special teams, outside of their rookie kicker, he struggled, and their defense. I think if those two things get it done, they'll win against the Giants.
Yeah, I should say, just to circle back to the Monday night game, I did say I was going to say two things about the Packers. The second thing was, on Get Up this morning, Jeff Saturday was really critical of Green Bay. He was like, they've been so good, and now they were just terrible in this game. I actually could not disagree more with that. I feel like it was very impressive that the youngest team by a wide margin in the NFL in Green Bay found a way to take the lead late in that game where they weren't very impressive, and they found a way to do that. That, to me, says more about a young team than anything else. So they really could have won that game, and while it's impressive that DeVito and the Giants made a couple more plays at the end to win, I think I also agree with you that it might be the story might end this week against the New Orleans Saints. So just to recap, you do have the home sweep. With Cincinnati beating the Vikings on Saturday, the Packers beating the Bucks, and then the New Orleans Saints defending the Superdome against the New York Giants.
The thing that's fun about this, and it's been the tale of the year, is I can easily see these all being wrong. But that,
like I said, it's really exciting this year. Yeah, we're coming down to it. I think this is one of the most competitive years we've had in a while, which everybody do a shot, because I say that every season. I actually don't know if I say that every season. That's fine. That was Pal's Picks, sponsored by Market Side Fresh. It's the Walmart, their grab-and-go thing. Okay. That's the pizza that I'm going to have tonight for dinner.
Excellent.
Yeah, they have a breakfast one that I've never tried, and I love breakfast pizza, so I'm excited for
that. You going to make that tonight?
Yeah.
All right.
It'd be nice. Let's do some Fantasy Corner.
Oh, man.
Fantasy Corner. So Adam is retiring from half of his leagues next year because he did terrible this year.
Yikes.
I couldn't even help our buddy Mike in his league because I needed to win to help him and somebody else get into the playoffs. I couldn't even do that.
You and Mike both missed?
Yeah, we both missed the playoffs. Wow. So for the first time in the 8-year stretch I've been in a league with my cousins and my uncles, I've missed the playoffs. I had a stretch where I went to 3 or 4 straight title games and won 2 or 3 of them. And this first time ever, I missed the playoffs because I had the Green Bay defense versus DeAndre Hopkins last night. I
felt so confident.
In a 10-point lead.
Felt so confident for you.
The whole game, it was close. And then Green Bay had that fumble recovery where Barkley fell, and I took the lead back, and I was like, D-Hop just can't touch the ball again. And then he went 5 for 5 and a touchdown. So it didn't matter. So I got knocked out in that. But we are in the playoffs in our league. Unfortunately, we don't have a bye.
We did not get what I wanted. But we are in the playoffs. That's what matters. We continue to deal with just a tough stretch, right? Of, you know, kudos to the league. They bring their best against us. But we have been punched in the face a lot. And I'm just tired of it.
So I agree. So I think the two big conversations are who we're going to play at running back.
Yeah.
Between guys like Javonte and Jarek and all that jazz. And the other conversation is I think we should look at defenses here and pick up a couple of them because we're in the position where we're in the playoffs. We need to win 3 straight weeks to win the title. We should look at this and be like, what couple of defensive matchups do we want going forward? And my first thing is to say, who plays the Panthers the next 3 weeks?
the Panthers are the team that you want to pick on.
That's who I would like to pick on, personally. Unless there are other matchups that we really like that are juicy. This is a thing that I love to do once I'm in the playoffs. And I'm not in enough leagues where you have to have a defense. Like, we're in so many IDP leagues that it doesn't matter. And then our one dynasty that I also made the playoffs in, the Game of Thrones themed one, we don't have any defenses in that one.
Yeah.
So I don't have to worry about it. But when I'm in a league like this, I really love to be like, I'm picking on a team that is just bad, and we're going to pick up all those defenses. Because at this point, you're not really making typically lineup decisions. You normally have your team at this point that you roll with, which I think we, for the most part, have.
Yeah.
So I'm fine picking up one or two if we want to. But I think we have Pittsburgh still.
We do.
So I don't know what your thoughts are on that. Yeah. Or if those guys are available.
So whoever is playing Carolina this week is already gone because I don't see them. That's really fascinating. I like that as an exercise. We don't have to sit here and dawdle about it. I really like that as a fantasy tip. Yeah, I think just for the conversation about our team is what do we do with the running back position? Javonte playing Detroit, who have been fairly good against running backs. He obviously gets a lot of opportunities, right? So that is appealing where, you know, I just wish we still had Jonathan Taylor, but I don't think he's coming back yet.
Yeah, I think we have an outside chance of him in our title game if we got there, yeah. But I don't feel great about it. I think right now Williams is who I would lean towards.
Over Jerick McKinnon, just I think that's probably correct. Because we
know
he's going to
get the opportunities. Yeah. I know Jerick scored, but we know that Javonte is going to get 15 touches at least, you know? But to talk about the defense, it's Atlanta, so somebody already grabbed Atlanta's defense in our league. I don't know. And then they've got Green Bay and Jacksonville. Green Bay might be available. I don't know. But that's the next couple games for the Panthers.
Okay. Green Bay's not available. Other ones?
Does somebody else have their idea? Well, then they go at Jacksonville. I'm assuming somebody's got Jacksonville.
Yep.
So somebody else had the same idea we did. So who else do you want to pick on, or does it not matter?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's hard to say. Like, obviously we're coming off a game where the Raiders were blanked, right? I don't know if that will be the norm. I also don't trust LA's defense, really, talking about Brandon Staley and whatnot, especially with they may be on the team or the field more often with Easton Stick.
Maybe we just got to stick with Pittsburgh and hope that TJ Watt gets sacks, you know?
There's Baltimore, who's been very consistent. They're available. They play Jacksonville.
I was going to say, who are their next three?
They play Jacksonville. San Francisco is the one that I'd be worried about.
Right.
We'd probably
play Pittsburgh that week anyway.
And then Miami. So, like, if we...
Oh, yeah,
if
that's
we,
tough, though.
But, I mean, like, if you're looking for them, if you're looking for defenses that I think are opportunistic, I mean, like, Baltimore makes things happen.
I think with the scenario that you just outlined, I think we probably stick with Pittsburgh and just ride them.
I want to look for a new kicker, I think. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah, later. We can look for a new kicker too.
So yeah, we didn't make it at the bye week. In but game of touchdowns,
we did make the playoffs.
We did make the playoffs. Yes. I made the playoffs not to be like, haha, like you didn't make it. I made it in all the ones I was trying.
Right, because you had two or three leagues where you were clearly tanking.
Yeah, where I'm clearly tanking.
I gotta say, and I meant to say this to you at work today, you have pulled off one of the greatest GM moves I've ever seen in history of fantasy.
What was that?
So you won back-to-back titles in our AFC-NFC league.
Okay.
And then the one season you tank, you end up with the first and second overall pick. Like, you are legitimately in place to win the first two, be the worst team for one season, and then now have sustained success over the next couple of years.
We will certainly see what Washington does with the quarterback. If they stick with Sam Howell for at least another year, I'm going to feel pretty good.
Yeah, because I'll be stunned if it's not an NFC team that takes Caleb Williams number one. So you get Caleb Williams. And then who knows who's in place at number two? Like, if it's the Pats take Marvin Harrison Jr.? I feel like that'd be weird. Right? So I feel like they take one of the other quarterbacks, and then maybe you get another NFC team that takes Marvin Harrison Jr., and then you get to just have those guys.
It definitely helps, right?
Or maybe Drake May goes to an NFC team, and
It is possible. So I have, because of the weird nature of how that's laid out, I have just a stockpile of picks, so I'm because of the amount of leagues that I've been working to do like this draft thing, I'm so excited for draft season, like more so than normal. So, I want to say I'm proud of that the three of us, you, me, and Jenna did a startup dynasty, and all three of us made it in the playoffs our first year.
I feel it's great and exciting. I feel so weird about that league though. So Jenna and I have a rematch because we played the last week, and she like crushed me because she had by far the highest scoring week. This past week, it's called Game of Touchdown. So we're all Game of Thrones references. It's very fun, except for Josh, who's Hufflepuff, because that's his kind of humor. I went for it in this league. Like, I made so many trades at the trade deadline to acquire Tony Pollard and Derrick Henry. Like, I also acquire Josh Dobbs in that league. I don't know. So I made some moves in this league to really make myself position myself to try to win.
Don't have Dobbs.
I was excited.
You have Dobbs and IDP.
And IDP, so I also do that too. So I made the playoffs in that one, IDP, Defenders in our league. So I made it in four. I'm not going to tell you out of how many, but I am dropping a handful next year. I will have a much smaller profile.
I feel like I'm just going to whisper in your ear, like, hey, do this one with me. And
we'll see what happens. Regardless, we're very excited for the playoffs. If you are one of the people who listen from Selly Oak Invitational, thanks for joining us on this journey. Good luck in the playoffs, but also not, because we would like to win.
Yeah, gang. Great.
All right, ready for some Friends Fortune to round this out?
Let's do it. You're going first.
Okay.
I need to think.
Oh, I got this.
Okay.
Should I sing too? I should probably sing, right? Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, how these are so unchanging. Let's go to the Saturday slate, folks. Every single starting quarterback on the Saturday slate will have at least two touchdowns. Six quarterbacks, three games, two each. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. How fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. I was really fast, so I'm going to go now. Sing a Christmas song when you're done.
What you wanted to hear.
My butter.
needs a new chair, everybody. All right, I'm going to go to the Philadelphia-Seattle game on Monday night. The last time, like I said, Seattle played the Cowboys and we saw a shootout. I'm going to say that there are over 80 points scored on Monday Night Football. Philly defense continues to struggle a little bit, and we're going to get a shootout on Monday Night Football. Baby, it's cold outside. But baby, it's cold outside. It's not really a effective song to sing by yourself. But here we are. Yep, couldn't think of another song. But I tried my best.
Another song? You didn't sing any song?
I sang a song.
Oh, okay.
Kinda.
Was it Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer?
It was not.
What a traumatizing song. Merry Christmas, guys. Your grandmother got run over.
It's supposed to be silly.
Well, you watched the animated film with it's like she's okay.
I thought that was a nice movie at the time.
Thanks for listening to the show, guys.
Cheryl.
Like I said, next week, Josh will be on bye, so I will be on my own. We'll probably get Dallas correspondent on to either talk about how my team beat his or vice versa.
Very good.
So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So like Adam said, I won't be here. So from me, I want to wish y'all a happy and safe holiday season. And we'll see you at the top of the new year. All right.
It'll be a lot of fun. Thanks for listening to Simultaneous Catch, folks. God bless.